line. So again, welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. I'm glad you've chosen to join us. I know some of you may have been drugged here this morning. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Pastor Mike, and it's my absolute honor that you're here and that I get to present the Word of God to you this morning. We're in week two of our Galatians series. Last week, we spoke about adding or taking away obstacles. You were here last week. I took the stool and I set it right in front of me. A lot of times we like to create obstacles when it comes to the gospel, taking away and adding to the gospel. And knowing the Word and protecting ourselves from those obstacles, from false teachers, or even from us becoming false teachers. So today we continue on, and we're going to look at how the gospel works without obstacle. Do you know that's how the gospel was meant to work? Without obstacle. And I have titled today's sermon, No Record. So if you have a Bible with you, and I hope you or someone next to you does that you can look on with, let me invite you to turn your Bible this morning to Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. And it will also be up on the overhead. I read from the English Standard Version. So if you have a different version, it will be different words, but the meaning will be the same. Let's get to our scripture this morning. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Let that sink in here for a minute. But by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be what? Justified. John Flavel retells a story, and it's his friend. My friend Dr. Roy Gustafson, that's a very complicated last name, has the most exemplary illustration of justification that I have ever heard. Now this was written, I don't know, this is old English a little bit, so stick with me. A man in England put his Rolls Royce on a boat to go across the continent on vacation. While driving around Europe, something happened to the motor of his car. Anyone experienced motor on vacation? Right? He called the Rolls Royce people back in England and he asked, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? Well, the Rolls Royce people flew a mechanic over. The mechanic repaired the car, flew back to England, and left the man to continue his holiday. As you can imagine, the fellow was wondering, how much is this going to cost me? Who gets a repair done without knowing the cost of the repair first? Right? So when he got back to England, he wrote them a letter. He wrote the Rolls-Royce people a letter, and he asked how much he owed them. He received a letter back from the office that read this, Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in any of our files that anything has ever gone wrong with the Rolls Royce. This is what justification is. Today we're talking about justification without obstacle. Being justified means forgiven of sins, accepted by God, and put in a right relationship with Him. Because of nothing that you have done, but because of everything that Christ Jesus has done on the cross. There is no record of your sin. Anybody sinned in here? You're sinning now if your hand's not raised. Listen, there's no record of your sin. None. Zero. There's no record. Justification doesn't happen by works. It doesn't happen by following religious routines. Who's ever been in a religious routine before? I have, right? It doesn't happen that way. It happens by living a faith and having an active faith in who? In Christ Jesus. It's not because I came and I stood and I sat and I stood and I sat and I sang three songs today and they said some good prayers that I joined in on. It's through active faith in Jesus Christ. In our scripture today, Paul is dealing with the question of how can sinners be justified without works? And why? Why is that? The Jews, if you've read the Old Testament, didn't the Jews have a whole lot of things they had to subscribe to be part of the faith? Right? They had all kinds of things they had to go to. So if you remember last week, the teachers, the false teachers, the ones that Paul was calling out, they came in after Paul came to the Galatians and told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The false teachers came in and said, well, Paul was mostly right, but you need to do this and this and this and this in addition to it to be saved, to have salvation. They were adding to the law. In fact, they were trying to get them to fall under the Jewish law of circumcision, following the law to a T and ascribing to their holy days. They were literally adding gospels. They were adding obstacles. They were adding to the gospel message. Paul says it's nothing but faith. It's nothing but faith that justifies us. The gospel we taught you, he says, salvation by faith because of God's grace is the essence of the true message of Christ. What does that mean for us? It means we have literally done nothing. Nothing. You can earn no grace. In fact, if you want to study this, write down Romans chapter 3 through 8. Paul talks extensively about this concept in Romans 3 through 8, so take time to read that. But here's what all this means for us today. And I need you to listen, because some of you need to hear this today. Okay? Everybody's attention. I need you to hear this. You are good enough. You do not have to work for your salvation. You do not have to appear a certain way to experience Jesus' salvation. You don't have to perform at a certain level to receive His salvation. Are you hearing me this morning? You don't have to do this and that and that and this to receive salvation. Right now, how you sit, you are good enough. On the count of three, we're going to say, I am good enough together. You ready? One, two, three. I am good enough. Do you believe that this morning? Let's do it again. One, two, three. I am good enough. You are good enough. And you have to remember that. You have to believe that you are good enough. And the truth of this is for me as well in my life. I struggled with this concept of being good enough in the early days of being a Christian. Here's what I ended up doing. Have you ever put your own obstacles in your path? In your own path? Have you ever laid something on the floor, you forget that it's there, and 20 minutes later you're tripping over it? That's an obstacle, right? We create our own obstacles. We create our own things that cause us to fail, that keep us beaten down and put in a place where we don't feel like we're worthy. Here's what I did. And I think this is probably what a lot of us do. We compare God to our earthly father. We compare God to the fathers that we know here on earth. What did my father have for expectations of me? To get good grades. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? You have to act a certain way. Who doesn't want a respectful, good-mannered child? Kids, you may not understand. You will someday, trust me. I have to work hard. I dropped out of doing football and band and all the extracurriculars my sophomore year because it came down to you can either ride the bus until you're senior, or you can work and get a job and get your own phone, pay your own insurance, get your own car. What does every 16-year-old in Iowa want to do when they turn 16? They want to drive. I made that choice, right? But I have to work hard to get what I want. I have to do this and that. And somewhere along the way, and I believe this is true for most of us, somewhere along the way, the purpose and truth of those things by themselves are very good things. Can we all agree to that today? They're all very good things. But somewhere along the way, they lost their meaning, and it turned into this, I have to do this to make sure my dad is proud of me. And somehow, sadly, I always fell short of that expectation. Do you know that my dad never intended for it to be that way? He never intended for it to become that. He was simply trying to help me grow and develop into a well-mannered, good citizen, and a contributing member of society. Is that not what every parent wants for their children, right? So I can stand up here today and I can say I wasn't a good Christian to start out. Do you know that you're not perfect? as soon as you come into relationship. He sees you as perfect. Let's just get that clear. But you're not perfect, right? I struggled with sin. And actually, let me rephrase that. I struggled with sin because I wasn't ready to let go of that sin in my life. If you're sinning as a Christian, I would recommend you spend time in prayer and ask the Lord, because we shouldn't struggle with sin. If we're struggling with sin, it's because we've made a decision that we're not ready to let go of that sin yet. That we'd rather hang on to this because this is a comfort thing for us, or this is where we feel good. But here's the deal. If we have sin in our life, it always leaves you in a position. It always left me in a position anyways, that I always felt unworthy. I felt unworthy of God's love. I felt unworthy of being called a child of His because I had sin in my life, because I took part of sin. And for me, it became a very religious thing. It became about what I did rather than who He was. You understand that this morning? It became about what I did. I felt like I had to do this. I have to overcome this. I have to try harder. Has anyone ever told you to try harder when it comes to an addiction? Try harder. You'll get through it. Right? That's not how it works. If I overcome that, or if I act like this, if I look like this on Sunday mornings, everybody's going to believe this about me on Saturday night, right? I had to worship harder. What does that even look like, right? What is, come on, Lord Jesus, right? I have to worship harder. I have to pray more spiritually. Have you ever heard somebody pray really spiritually, but the words mean nothing, right? Come on. I have to read the Bible more aggressively. That just means I turn the pages harder every time I read a page, right? By the way, side note, great time to join us. We have a 5-day Bible reading plan we're going through as a church. These guys laugh at me all the time. We're going through a 52-week Bible reading together as a church, and it's 5 days of reading a week. We are on week 42, starting week 43 tomorrow, and we have 10 weeks left, and all of us that have been part of that will have read the Bible in a year. And listen, if you didn't jump on the first day, don't worry, because it's listed out by days, by weeks. You can't get off track. Jump in where we're at now. I promise it'll be good for you. It's out there on the back table. 5-day Bible reading plan is its title, in case you were interested. Right? So the goal of this was to become a better Christian. I had to do all of this to become a better Christian. Listen, before I felt like God would accept me. You ever been in a relationship and not felt accepted? Felt like you didn't belong? Feel like you weren't worthy of that relationship? Here's the truth. You can take this down as a note if you want. None of us are worthy. There's not a single one of us. We will never be, there will never be any moment in our life where we finally get it right and are finally worthy because of our efforts. Your efforts do not make you worthy. Your efforts do not justify you. Your works do not justify you. But God's grace makes us worthy. And here's the best part about it. It makes us worthy as soon as we repent and believe in Jesus. He doesn't say, repent, go through this class for 15 weeks, be baptized, do this, do that, and then you've arrived and you can be considered worthy. No, Christ Jesus died on the cross that you would be worthy as soon as you said, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, I need you, forgive me of my sins and come into my life. At that moment, you are now considered a king and a queen. You are a co-heir with Christ because you are worthy. Do you understand that this morning? God wants you to know. He wants you just how you are. He wants your flaws. Listen, He can work out all the kinks. If God created the heavens And everything that we know in 7 days, can he take care of your addiction? Can he take care of your sin? Can he take care of any problem that's ever arisen from day one? So he can work out the kinks, right? He can work out the things that need to be worked out. Here's what he needs from you. Your surrender and your heart. That's what he needs from you to be able to work out these kinks. When you accept Christ, you receive at that instant justification. You are worthy, church. Romans 3:25, it tells us this, "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood." People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. As the story went in the beginning, it said, "Dear sir, there is no record anywhere in any of our files that anything has ever gone wrong with the Rolls Royce." Here's what God's saying to you this morning. There is no record that you have ever sinned. There is no record that there's a debt owed. There is no record of you having done anything that would make you unjustified in my presence. There is no record. He's forgotten it. It's gone. You ever forget anything and it just literally never comes back to your mind? It's gone. It's never coming back. Listen, Christ paid for it. He paid for it. But it's not because you deserved it. It's not because He owed you. It's because He so loved the world that He wanted to reconcile His creation, mankind, us. He wanted to reconcile us to Him, to a restored relationship. If not, we would still be under the works, the law and the works, wouldn't we? And what does the law do? The law only serves to condemn us. It only serves to call us guilty. And it's only there to know, so we know that there is a separation between us and God. The law lets us know that we are guilty, period. It does not justify us. It does not make us sinless. It just lets us know that we are guilty. Listen, works, obstacles, whatever we want to call them, it makes us fall short, or it creates in us a religiousness that was never meant to be. Until I realized this truth, I beat myself up as a Christian. I just always felt like I was falling short. I wasn't doing good enough, trying to do things on my own, not relying on God's power to do it. And there's a moment when you understand the truth of justification and receive it, there's freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's at that moment that you experience that freedom. And this brings up my second point today. Maybe you're hanging on to your sin. Anybody hang on to a sin before? Maybe you're hanging on to it. You haven't forgiven yourself. You're trying to work off a debt. You're trying to work off a sin. Or you're trying to change your own behavior. And you're doing all this before you can really dig into Christ. Before I can start going to church every Sunday. Before I can start doing this and that for Jesus. Before this, because I have all this in my life. Listen, you're punishing yourself. You are punishing yourself and keeping yourself separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how I know that. Because the Lord Jesus, He took the punishment for all of our sin. When He went to the cross, every sin that had been or ever will be committed, He took that punishment. He took that beating. He took that shame. He took that unbearable guilt and He defeated it for you at the cross. When we come into a relationship with Him, when we submit our heart to Him, by repenting and recognizing our need for Him, at that moment, we are justified. At that moment, we are forgiven. At that moment, our past is no longer on the books to be dealt with. Gone. Let's ask some questions here this morning. You can just answer them in your head. Did Christ finish what God sent him to do? Of course, right? So why in the world would we want to add anything to his righteousness? Why would we want to add anything to his goodness, to his completed work? If he finished his work, why do we want to add things to his finished work? In the Galatians' sake, after they received the message, the false teachers came in and they said, "This is true, but you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the Jewish law. You have to do this before you can be justified." And when there's these obstacles added, and they're added to a requirement for somebody's faith, it reflects upon Jesus' work on the cross dishonorably. This may be a hard truth to hear. He will not tolerate it. He will not tolerate being dishonored. He is either all or none in our justification. So, if he has finished the work, what need is there of our added obstacles? What purpose do our obstacles do? Rhetorical question, right? Because they're not needed. But if he hasn't finished the work, what purpose are these obstacles? Because if we believe the work isn't finished, or items need added to finish the work, we are essentially saying that we think that we could finish the work that Christ himself could not complete. Do you understand how absurd that sounds? To think that I can add this or that and it'll help Jesus complete the work of justification. So again, let me ask you, did he finish the work? Yes, he did. Is he willing to share the glory and praise for that completion of work with us? No. He's not going to share the glory and the praise because it's all his. Because Christ isn't a half-savior that needs anybody's help. He's done it all on himself when he took and bore the cross for our sins. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." The righteousness from God that depends on faith. It says nothing about working out our salvation. Working, doing this, being religious. It's not there. Works do not give us salvation. So church, listen. Hold your head high. You are a child of the King. You are a child of God. You have been bought. Your debt has been paid. And here's something that I had to learn the hard way. So let me just quit letting your past keep you from a closer, more meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Trust me when I tell you, he doesn't care about your past. He cares where your heart is today. Remove the obstacle. Joel, if you want to, however you have ending set up this morning. I wonder, could there be some of us in here today that are so focused on doing things a certain way or making sure things have to be just so that we're actually missing out on our relationship with Jesus Christ? Have we put our own obstacles in our path? And if the answer is yes today, let today be the end of that. There's no reason. You are literally enslaving yourself to something that Christ has already paid for. There is no reason to hold yourself in like that. From what we learned today, it's only by and through the work of Jesus on the cross that we can freely receive, without works, God's grace. That's it. And this is the message that we have to take. as we share the gospel. This is the message that goes outside of these doors. This is the message that we must live and breathe and teach. That it's simply faith in Jesus, no works. Faith in Jesus is all that's needed for a relationship with Him. And this is especially true. And if you're a guest here, this applies to you, but this won't make sense to you, right? Our mission statement as a church is engaging our community for Jesus. And if we're going to continue to reach out into this community, impact lives, touch people's lives, share and show them the love of Jesus, we have to take this message with us. That it's faith in Jesus Christ alone when we are receive God's grace and we are justified. So if you guys would, this might be a little different for you. It's okay to be different. Trust me, I'm different. If you would, I would just ask that you would close your eyes, bow your heads, or look at your feet. Don't look at anybody around you. I want to talk to everybody individually without looking at anybody and seeing what they're doing or pay attention to what they're doing. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is quite clear. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Romans 10:9 tells us, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and again, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Period. So church, the gospel is pretty clear. Believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, and you will experience His salvation. You will be justified in front of Him. So this morning, I want to make sure everyone has the chance to respond. I want to make sure everybody has a chance to do that very thing this morning. So whether this is in a brand new way, you've never said, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, I know I fall short, but I accept the work of the cross." If you've never asked Jesus into your life, whether in a new way or this is a fresh way, maybe you've said it, maybe you were 10 years old when you said it, but boy, life is sure different now. Listen, this can be in a fresh way as well. Today is your chance to start that relationship with the understanding that our justification and our salvation comes through faith alone. If that's you this morning, would you please just shoot up your hand, let me see it, put it back down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Church, we're going to pray together. So I would just ask that you repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. I recognize that I am a sinner. There is nothing that I can do to receive salvation of my own ability. But it's through faith. So Lord Jesus, I believe that You died and rose again. I confess with my mouth that You are Lord. I ask that You change my life. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, I don't ever want to leave this moment without celebrating. And whether in a new way or fresh way, we had two individuals this morning raise their hand saying, "I want to give my life to Jesus." So here's how I want to close today. There's actually two things I want to do. I believe in the power of prayer. I want to pray with you. If there's anything that any of you need, I don't care if it's a hangnail, I don't care if it's a financial issue, if it's a relationship issue, emotional, I don't care what it is. If it's worthy of worrying about, it's worthy of praying about, right? So if you need prayer this morning, I'll have my board come up and help, but I would just ask that you come up on this side of the altar so we know that you're coming up for prayer. We want to lift and join you in prayer. Second, I want to end with a challenge for all of us today. Every single one of us should be able to answer this question in our head. I want you to evaluate and ask, which category do I fall in? Am I living a justified life through a relationship with Jesus? Or am I striving for works and I'm separating myself from Jesus? Because I think at one point or another, in all of our lives, we fall into that category of doing works. I think it's just a default that we fall into sometimes. When we get content and just kind of go through the motions instead of being led by the Spirit within a relationship with Jesus. So this morning I'm going to ask you to ask God to reveal areas to you where you have created obstacles. Places where you have put obstacles that would keep you from a closer relationship with Jesus. Where you are focused more on the works than on a relationship with Him. And then I'm going to ask that you say, God, take it. Help me overcome this and rid yourself of those things and fall in the understanding that it's by faith in Jesus Christ that we are justified. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.